Let us labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk about his wondrous loving care. Then when all the life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eric. Those were some really beautiful songs and really direct our minds right where they need to be. Our minds, our attitudes, our thoughts need to be focused on when Jesus Christ returns and on eternal things. And so that was really moving and special, and I'm glad we were able to sing those songs. And so let us begin here with a word of prayer, and then we'll get further into our lesson. And so, Father, we come before you this morning, and dear Lord, we just cry out before the throne of mercy and grace. Dear Lord, would you look down? Would you show compassion on us? Would you smile upon us? Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, Father, we come before you confessing all of our sins. Lord, you know who we are. You know our hearts. And Father, we desire to follow you, to walk in your ways, to follow after the Good Shepherd. And Lord, give us the strength to do that. Father, would you look down and smile upon this congregation? Father, would you raise up from among us those who would be after your own heart, Father, who would do your will, who would not be engrossed in the things of the world, Father, but would be focused on the things of God. And Lord, just bless us, give us strength. Father, we also just come before you this morning with hearts heavy as we've lost one of our dear brothers that we love so very much, Father. And so we just look to you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who has conquered death. And we want to trust in you, and we want to ask, Father, right now for healing, for the suffering that this congregation is going to be going through, and those who were close to our brother James. And so, Father, just would you surround his family? Would you surround this congregation? And please let us reflect upon these things and turn to you with our whole hearts. It's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. Okay, so once again, we just want to welcome each one of you, and we're very encouraged to have y'all with us this morning. And as we just mentioned in our time of prayer, we found out that James has passed away. And what a wonderful man. I remember he's probably one of the first people that I really got close to within the homeless community. And we really identified because James loved the Word of God. And he really was just convicted over the Scriptures and wanted to obey them. And just look at his life. What a shining example of how God can powerfully deliver people from temptation and addiction and different things. And James, he was doing so well, and had even gotten a job and gotten his own apartment. And so what a reminder to each and every one of us how true it is, like James says, what is your life? You are a mist. You're here today, and you're gone tomorrow, and we're like grass. No sooner than the sun shines upon it, then it's no more. And so we've got to have that mindset. Like the songs we just sang, we've got to be looking and be watching and watchful in prayer, waiting for the Lord to come back. And I think about different stories in the Scripture. I think about the rich man and Lazarus. And of course, the rich man, right, he did not go to the place that anyone would want to go to. He went to a place of torment and great suffering. And of course, his message to the living was, you need to listen to the Word of God, and you need to get right, and you need to repent. And in the same way, we think about those who die in the Lord as they are with Him in His presence, and they've seen the face of God, and they've overcome. How much more would they want to speak to each one of us this morning? It's time to get right with the Lord. It's time to seek Him with all of our heart. It's time to watch and pray, because we do not know the hour when the Lord is going to take us. And so this is a time where we need to be seeking the Lord, and we need to be more serious and reflect that we're all headed to the grave. And from dust we were created, and dust we shall return. And so the devil is powerful. And what a liar he is to make us think that we stand on solid ground when we live on this life. But how many countless people have we known that have sit in these pews? Young people, old people that have passed through. And so this is a powerful time of reflection. And I'm just honored and grateful to have known him, and what a friend and a source of encouragement that he was to just about everybody here in this church. And so he will be dearly missed, but how powerful it is to reflect on his life. And I tell you what, this is just gripping me and causing me just to seek God with every ounce of energy I have. And I know this is going to be an effect for many more people, as we love him so very much. And so this morning, we're going to turn to God's Word, and we've been studying the book of Acts, and we looked at a couple weeks ago in how Judas was replaced, his apostolic ministry, and we are going to pick up here in chapter 2. So if you'd like to turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, that's where we're going to start this morning. So let me begin here in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing of wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. And they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia in Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We all hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" And so powerful story where God is going to be fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy, which we're about to read. And what an amazing thing if you had traveled from all over the world to come to this great Jewish feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And this feast day would have taken place 50 days after Passover. This was one of the three major religious feasts in Judaism, and it commemorated the harvest. And so this was a time of great celebration and worship of God. And so people from all over the world, as we read all of these different places, the list goes on and on and on, not just Jews, but of course Jews who had been scattered. But here within the text, it's very clear that worshipers of the one true God had gathered, who had come to this place in order to praise and worship God and offer different sacrifices, were able to witness this great fulfillment of God's word. And so let's look here at some of these verses. And so Jesus had told his disciples that you need to go ahead of me, that you need to go to Jerusalem, and you need to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. You need to wait for what God had promised to do beforehand. And so they were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it's always neat as we read Scripture to, in some ways, use our imagination and try and remember maybe some storms that we've been in, or maybe some people have experienced tornadoes before. But wind is a wonderful thing. It's an awesome thing, and it makes such a powerful noise. And so there's a rushing wind, and it's so loud that, as we're going to read in a little bit, that all of these different people, they heard, and they're saying, "What's going on? Something is happening. What does this mean?" And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then, still more amazing, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, that is the apostles. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we need to keep reading in order to figure out what exactly is taking place. So the disciples, the apostles, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are given the special ability to speak in other languages, which we're about to take a look in verse 5. And so we have a list of all these people. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And what a neat scene that is, that every nation under heaven was represented. And this is really significant, and this is really important as we look in Acts, as we look in the New Testament, and we look back to the Great Commission, as the Lord's will was that the gospel might be proclaimed to every nation. And so here, this is a significant event where we have representations of people on the entire face of the earth are here in one place. And so this great demonstration, this great act of God, is to be a sign to all peoples. And so this is a crucial part in the fulfillment of this great commission. And so many times in the New Testament, we see the idea that the gospel has gone out, has already, past tense, gone out to the entire world. And there's people today that say Jesus can't come back until the gospel is preached to every nation, every tribe, every people. But clearly, when you look at the Scripture, and we even looked this morning at our text, we've got representations of people, representatives from every tribe, every nation, every people. So whatever the Bible is talking about, the fulfillment is in these verses, and it says that it's already been fulfilled in the first century. And so that lets us know that we need to be prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back at any moment, and we can't sit back and say, well, The gospel still needs to go out before we need to repent, and we've still got time. And so that's a foolish, unbiblical way of thinking. And I encourage you to study that concept a little bit more if that's something that you've struggled with. And so now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Pretty clear. And at the sound, the multitude came together. And so we might think about a sporting event or some kind of a concert, a multitude of people. What a frenzy, what a scene of people who hear this. God is coming down and he's acting publicly. He sent his one and only Son to minister in broad daylight, to preach to multitudes of people. And here once again at the establishment and the founding of the church, God is doing this great and awesome work. Not behind closed doors, not in a cave with golden tablets, but he's doing this at the religious capital of the world in the fullness of time in front of every people group on the face of the earth. This is significant and this is important, especially when we have a lot of angry people who shake their fist at God and say, "He's unjust. Why doesn't he make himself known?" Well, if they would just humble themselves and they would just look to the Word of God, they would see that God's done everything. He's gone above and beyond, and he has shown himself. He has testified to his faithfulness, and he is pointing to the man Jesus Christ and to his church. And so it's kind of neat when we let God speak and we stop listening to those that accuse God of being unjust. In fact, they are the ones that are unjust. And at this sound, right, the multitudes came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in their own language. How crazy and how interesting this is. What an awesome supernatural miracle that God has done here on the day of Pentecost. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?" And so very clearly here, these people all have a common dialect. They all have a common language. They're Galileans. They don't speak all these different languages, and yet something most wonderful is happening where it's still mysterious and it's hard to fully wrap our minds around what is happening, but there's some plain, clear things that we can accept. The apostles were preaching, and every tribe, every people under heaven was able to hear the gospel preached in their own language. And so I want you to think about this just a little bit. Imagine that you're a Roman, or imagine that you are from one of these places, Cappadocia or Asia or Egypt, and you spoke your own language, but you had come to revere and honor the one true God of Israel. You had heard about his awesome works and his fame. And you had become a proselyte, and you had traveled a great distance in order to worship him, but still you didn't feel connected. You didn't fully understand the worship. You didn't understand the language. It had to be translated to you, and you felt distant. And then all of a sudden, you're able to hear about the wonderful works of God in your own language. What is that message going to say to you? What is this? What is the significance of this? Anybody got two hands here? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is really amazing. If you put yourself within the Scripture, you've traveled a great distance from Asia, You show up and you love the Lord and you're convinced and you're a believer. You're a part of the Jewish faith, but then again, you're kind of not a part of the Jewish faith. You have to be in the court of Gentiles, and there's this separation, and then there's this language barrier, and then you see this awesome miracle where you yourselves are able to hear God's Word, what He has done in your own language. And I imagine, we don't know exactly what was said. Well, we're going to have a sermon here in a little bit, and we understand some of the things that were said. But I would imagine some of what was said was the fact that God is now going to bring all people through what Jesus Christ has done. It's not just Jews anymore, but all people can be children of Abraham. And so this is really amazing, and what a mighty miracle, and what a time to cheer as we read to see that God's bringing everybody together and wants us all to hear the message of God. Kenneth? Okay. Yeah. And so any student of Scripture would obviously have to think about, how does this relate to Babel? And right, the Lord confusing the languages, and now He's doing something unique and special, and He's bringing all people together under one language, one message, this message of the gospel. And so we have to sit down and we have to think about those two stories and have to consider that probably something really cool happening here. These have to relate together. And so this is really a wonderful thing. These people are amazed. They've heard this mighty rushing wind, and they are astonished, and they're asking, what does this mean? And then they hear. Let's find the exact words here in verse 12. Actually, verse 11. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And it's just so special. We can't comprehend what it would be to be far off. And that's why we read in Paul's writings, we read in the New Testament, at one time, you were aliens. You were far off. You were separated. And we as Christians, we just don't understand what it is to be separated, to be outside of the promises of God, and then to hear in your own language of the mighty works of God. This is something that is so wonderful. It should give us chills, and what glory to be present here and to hear these things. And we're so blessed to be living on the foundation of what God has done at this time. And so all were amazed, and I bet they were, and perplexed, confused. What, I mean, has anyone ever seen something like this happen before? You've got a bunch of Galileans, and they're speaking the gospel, but everybody understands it. That is an appropriate word that's used there, perplexed. They're confused. What's happening here? And so they want to understand this, and so this sets the stage for the preaching of the gospel. And then always, the devil has got to get a word in here, the deceiver, right? The seed is sown, it is cast, but the devil, just like those birds, wants to come down, and he wants to steal the word, keeping it from bearing fruit. He wants to choke out the word, and look at what the devil and the voice of confusion is saying here. But this, verse 13. But others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. This really is a foolish statement to me. And we really, the principle of being quick to listen and slow to speak, they're not living by that principle and that guiding wisdom, yet they are speaking foolishness, and this represents the word of the devil and this mocking. And this is something which every time God does something, every time God has something beautiful and wonderful happening, the devil is going to have a group of people to arise and to contend with the works of God which are being done in wherever it is. And that happens today. Wherever God is working, the devil has people to mock and to say something negative and try and stop the work of God. And so verse 14 here, Peter's going to help us out. He's going to explain what exactly is going on so that these people aren't confused. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. And so here's this shy man who has denied the Lord three times, who has been in hiding, and now he is filled with the Holy Spirit, the spirit of boldness, and the Spirit is giving him utterance, it is giving him words, and he's going to speak the following. And we might suppose, as we are linking this with what we've just read, that as Peter speaks, likely everyone is understanding what he is saying. So one Galilean is speaking, and likely here it can be assumed that everybody understands what he is saying, because this is a supernatural tongue that was given to the apostle here for the foundation of the church. And so listen to Peter. He says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And so the Holy Spirit has opened his understanding to prophecy and what was said long before about what God was going to do in the future. And we have this great Joel prophecy. I believe if you turn to Joel, this is in Joel chapter 2. It's in Acts chapter 2. It's really easy to remember this. And so let's read as Peter quotes Joel. He says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great a magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so we struggle with trying to relate the significance of this scripture. Each line is so wonderful. The last is the greatest by far. To hear these words, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a wonderful thing. And Peter is going to most clearly explain exactly what that looks like here in just a little bit. But so in the last days, and God has arranged history in different segments. A fancy way that we might say that is dispensations. There's certain time periods where God gives a certain amount of grace. He gives a little bit more grace. He gives the law. He gives a little bit more of the prophets. He gives a little bit more. And then finally, in the last days, God is going to do something special. If you remember Jesus' first miracle, I think that is descriptive of how God interacts with history. If you remember that story, there was a wedding, and then it got down to the very end. They were out of wine, and Jesus turned the water into wine, and then he gave it to the official, and they were astonished, because at most weddings. They serve the good wine first, and then they serve the bad wine. And some people have that view of history, that it's really, really amazing, and it just goes down the tube. Well, Jesus tells us, or by his miracle, that he says that that he has saved the best wine for last. And I think that this is definitely referring to the ministry of Jesus in the last days, that God has saved the best for last. He saved something wonderful and special. In fact, he has poured out the promised Holy Spirit upon all these people groups, all these different people, and they have all heard the wondrous works of God in their own language. That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And it's not just for men, but it is for women as well. And as we continue here to read, let's look at verse 22 as we're nearing the end here. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence that the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn on an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we're witnesses, being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And what an important and logical question to ask as they finally understand what exactly has taken place. They understand the meaning of maybe all the different things that they had witnessed over the past 3 years. They're finally understanding clearly by a direct act of God before them, a miracle, a sign. They are convicted that they have, in fact, crucified and condemned an innocent man, and they have killed the Christ. And then they ask, what must we do to be saved? And this is the question that every single one of us must ask as well, as they're cut to the heart, as they're convicted. And then Peter responds and said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. What an wonderful ending to this great story, to see that 3,000 souls were added on that first day of the church. And we might also understand here that in this 3,000, we had people from all these different places. And we would also understand that they would take this new life, that they would take this gospel to their home places as they returned after this feast. And so here we see the very beginning of the outpouring of this Joel promise of God beginning to do a wonderful work of salvation in these last days. And as we've read, that this promise is for them, it's for their children, and it's for all those who will call upon the Lord. And that promise is for us today. And I hope that if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not done the things which are commanded in this scripture, if you have not repented, I hope that you will consider doing these things even today. And so we're going to close this morning, and if you would pray with me, we will have a 10-minute break before our service. And so let's pray. Father, we once again we come before you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for the wonder of your word, Father. We thank you for your awesome works. We thank you that you are a God who has not separated yourself, Father, not a God who has distanced himself, but you are a God who has come near. You are a God who speaks, Father. You are a God that gives us commands and directions. And Father, you have come to save us. And dear Lord, soften our hearts. Let us be like these people. Let us be cut to the heart, Father, and let us commit our way to you. And if we have not, let us repent of our sins. Let us have our sins washed away, and let us receive your promised Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father. Watch over us, Father. Help us. Be with us this very day, and help us to worship you with all of our heart, our soul, mind, and strength. It's through Jesus' most powerful name that we pray. Amen.